Welcome to Chatting with Channing and my guests today are Madison Hookway and Saskia Steinberg, who left the school in 2018. I was delighted to have the chance to speak to them as they returned to Channing for Rosie's Day and find out more about their short film, Type of Rain, its roots dealing with teenage grief, cold water swimming, and just the general powerful legacy of the Channing School community. Enjoy listening.
Welcome to Chatting with Channing. This is the podcast for Channing School that lets you, the listener, find out more by hearing from people throughout the whole school community. Each episode, you'll hear real stories from staff, from pupils, from parents, and from the school's alumni to give you a true reflection of life on Highgate Hill. So come with us now as we get into this episode.
So welcome. I'm joined today by Maddie Hookway and Saskia Steinberg. How does it feel to be back at Channing School?
Well, thank you for having us. It feels very surreal. We were walking around this morning and we couldn't believe how everything was exactly the same and yet completely different. It feels very weird.
Yeah, definitely feels weird being back, but great nonetheless.
How long ago was it when you both left?
We graduated 2018, so 8 years ago.
And like so much has happened, not just sort of thinking about things like COVID and things like that, but also in your career and experience and stuff like that. And since you've been back today, what things have you been up to?
We gave an assembly for Rosie Day, which is today. And we spoke about our careers, a film that we made together as a result of our experience that we had from losing Rosie and what it means to be a Channing girl.
They'll say, well, just, yeah, I think it would be lovely just to hear about it. And obviously you mentioned Rosie Day, and obviously this today is a very poignant day for you as well. But also it'd be lovely to hear a little bit as well about how did your film Type of Rain, which I've watched, how did that come about? So I don't know who wants to sort of jump in there.
Writing a script, it doesn't just come from one thing. So I think there's definitely lots of different things that brought us to this script. Mm-hmm. But I think kind of the seed was that I was studying in Dublin and I'd taken a screenwriting module, which was something I'd never done before. And I actually didn't really want to do, but I'm so glad I did it. And I had to write a script and I thought, what should I write it about? And I decided to write it about grief, especially grief that's from losing a school friend. So someone who's young, teenager. And I tied that in with cold water therapy, which was something that I'd recently started to do because I'd recently been swimming in the Irish Sea, which was something that I had felt very much peer pressured to do by my friend.
Okay. Well, good to know peer pressure sometimes has positive consequences. It's not always a bad thing. So you took the screenwriting. And why was it you took that? Was it an elective or something? What was it that kind of, you said you weren't sure about it?
So I did a master's in film, and I previously studied history, and the master's was like a combination of film theory and practice. And I always thought I wanted to go into documentary making. So I didn't get onto the documentary making module. So I got put on the screenwriting module.
Did you? Okay.
I think it's really funny because it kind of led me to where I am today for the best, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like making this film was very intentional, but also came with a lot of chance and luck. And so, you know, the luck of Saskia taking that class and the luck of me being back in London last year for work. And I live in LA, so it really was just, you know, a chance that we happened to be in the same city. And we sat down for dinner and we thought, oh, we should make something while we're both here in the same country, you know, for the first time in 8 years. Let's just see what we come up with. And then Saskia brought this brilliant script that she had written and had, you know, been nominated in Ireland. So it was not just my biased opinion. It was objectively great.
Okay, you're very good.
And we went from there. And yeah, I don't know if this would have happened had I not come back or if Saskia had not taken that leap of faith and done that class, but we're very happy it worked out that way.
For sure. It was such a team effort. I definitely could not have done it without you.
Well, it's good to have. But actually, it does remind us, doesn't it, how sometimes, you know, life has opportunities which kind of present themselves, which actually were like, if that hadn't happened or that conversation hadn't happened to that time, this might not have been the next progression. And just going as well, just back a step, Saskia, so as you sort of talked about the cold water swimming and that helping with your grief, How did this story begin to pour out of you? What were sort of some of the things? Was it partly that sense of you processing it, or were you just trying to kind of, you know, you were thinking this is something that actually I've been holding for a long time?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. Part of the reason why I went to university in Ireland was because I really wanted to get out of the kind of like London bubble. And I had felt that my anxiety and certain things had got worse. So I really wanted that fresh start. And I really used that opportunity of going to a different university. Yes, it's not in LA like Maddie, but it's far enough. And I kind of decided that year that I wanted to do a lot of new things. And a lot of it was to kind of deal with things that had bubbled up, I guess, from dealing with grief. And that's kind of how the script came about, was kind of exploring grief through a different medium and how I can channel those emotions into a script.
Yeah, and I can totally understand. And then, I mean, obviously there's a script and that, you know, that's writing, that's putting it out there. And yes, you both have this great history, your passion for film. But why do you think telling a story through film specifically is the way, you know, that was the kind of the next natural step? I know that both of you, obviously, that's your medium. But why do you think that that actually was going to bring this or give up other people the opportunity to come to the story?
Making this a wider thing than just us, you know, storytelling is the oldest form that we have in the entire universe. And so it's a natural medium when you want to get across emotions that can be quite awkward to explain directly. And I don't know if it's a British sentiment, but, you know, talking about grief and how sad or lost or confused you are is really difficult, especially as teenagers and as young women. You know, we had so many things happening, GCSEs, A-levels, uni, our lives, figuring out our careers. And as women, I think our feelings often get put on the sideline. And putting all of that into a film was a way of expressing what we felt without having to tell anyone. And they could just watch a film and watch this character go through what we had gone through and see our story without having to embarrassingly, you know, share how scared we were, or, you know, being 18 and what that means. So it naturally happened, but I think it's a great device for anyone out there who is struggling to express something. Write it down on a piece of paper, you know, narrate it into your phone, and it might be easier. And so, yeah, it really helped us. And I didn't even think that we had discussed what it meant to us. We just naturally started doing it, and it really helped release a lot of things within us.
I mean, there's not a huge amount, is there, of portrayal around teen grief and things, and particularly the loss of a friend. And I suppose it's quite hard for people to put themselves back in that position. When you watched it back, and I hope this isn't sort of too hard for you as you think about it, you know, did it give you a sense of actually that's what we were going through, or did it give you that opportunity to sort of see that grief, you know, have a sort of chance to actually portray it or sort of feel that in a different way?
I think when you're making it, you kind of get lost down this rabbit hole where you kind of detach yourself from the story and the impact that you once felt when you read it. But I was with the editor, and I didn't know him well, and we watched the first playback and he was crying, and that to me was a really lovely symbol of the fact that our story, it's personal and it's based off of quite a singular experience, but it's also intentionally vague, and it's meant to be a universal story because grief is universal. You said this great quote that grief only affects the living. Mm. And it's something that we're all going to have to experience at some point in our lives. And we wanted that film to be applicable to people, whether it's from losing a friend or losing a dog or from losing a grandparent. So I think like seeing it hit that impact on our editor was important, but then also showing it to friends and family. Mm. And we showed it to a lot of our friends and a lot of our school friends in a big theater. And we both turned to each other after, and we were both crying. And I think we both felt a bit embarrassed because we'd seen it probably 300 times. Mm. And yeah, the effect that it had on us was still very prominent.
And yeah, and just on Saskia's point, we wrote this for us, but we wrote it for everyone. And it was important for our cast and crew to be able to connect to the story. You know, we think it's intentional filmmaking is the best filmmaking. And so we asked the crew and cast to bring in a photo of someone they've also loved and lost. And in our end credit scene of the film, you see Saskia's beautiful hands slowly placing out all these photos of every person that a crew member or cast wanted to dedicate this film to. And it was really a really beautiful, touching moment for us. And it was touching for everyone to see their person be included in a film like this. And it just made it bigger than us, which is what we wanted.
Do you know, and I was totally moved by that, actually, because I think that was one of the things when I watched it and I, you know, there's so many clever details. I mean, I can't even begin to sort of think about how your kind of creative genius, but again, even just the sort of the echo when she's in the bath right at the start and that sort of sense and the buzzing of the phone, you sort of have this sense of being a little bit disconnected and sometimes that feeling of grief where you feel like you're kind of a walk-on part in your own life or something. But that part at the end as well, when you looked at all the photographs, that really was moving. And even though you're like, I don't know these people, but I have this sense of loss and that sense of memory and going through these things. Yeah, so I mean, sorry, there's so many questions I have for you that I'm like, oh, where to go again? But I mean, obviously making a short film, it sometimes does underplays it, doesn't it? Because, you know, we often go to the cinema and see these like long blockbusters. But actually making a short film with a limited budget, and obviously you had your majority female crew, I mean, that just takes, probably feels like it takes more intensity, more effort to have something that is, you know, 10 minutes, but of perfection that actually draws out so much from you that you really feel connected. But how did that shape the process, I think, and the final piece, making this sort of short film particularly?
Oh, totally. It is so hard to make a short film because your brain is naturally wired for, you know, 42-minute, 23-minute length TV shows or a full feature film. And we've both worked in feature films our whole life. And that's, you know, where our brains go. And so trying to condense, you know, a full emotional arc from, you know, 121 pages, which is what we typically know, down to 10, was definitely difficult. And we went through many, many drafts and iterations of the script. I think the other challenge was just finding some time to shoot this. And it had to be a really quick shoot because we both were very busy last year. And we found a weekend where we could corral our friends, some different film sets, to do this for free, which thank you to all of those people. And the weekend that we finally found was free for everyone happened to be the weekend of Rosie's passing, 9th anniversary. And we didn't even plan that. It just happened, you know, the day before we were last minute meetings and rehearsing and setting up. And we looked at each other and we went, oh my gosh, it's tomorrow. And it was a really emotional thing. And we didn't tell any of the crew or cast because we didn't want that weight to be on them and for them to feel pressured that this has to be perfect. We wanted it to be perfect because it's just a film we're all making together. And we told everyone at the end of the weekend, and it was such this beautiful moment, and it was sunny, and it really felt like the stars had aligned. And not to be all, you know, spiritual about it, but it really did feel like her presence was there. And yeah, I'm not sure how it would have gone if we had shot on a different weekend, but I think there was something beautiful about all of us being there together on that day.
That is amazing, because again, it comes back to when we sort of talked about how these opportunities just align, and you suddenly sort of say, how, you know, how does that happen? And just thinking again, obviously, because there she is taking that bath, the cold water, and, you know, cold water swimming, I think particularly post-COVID seems to become, you know, the dry robe, the lots of people kind of thing. But actually that healing symbolically, but also physically, does that sort of also resonate in the way that making the film was therapeutic for you?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're both two different things that really force you to be present and intentional. And with cold water swimming, which is something that I really grew to love, was because you're not on your phone. You have no distractions. You're just trying to stay afloat and the water is freezing. So you have to be so in touch with your body and your breathing. And Maddie was talking about intentional filmmaking. That's definitely the type of thing as well, that when you're making a film, you have to be really present with it, and you have to think, what is the significance of, I guess, this scene or this line? And yeah, as a result, it forces you to kind of like be present with yourself and your brain and your mind and your creativity.
Mm. Yeah, and you have to focus now down on what is important. Every line, every, you know, curtain, every glance costs money, frankly. And so when we have a tiny budget, you have to be lean and clean. And again, the word intentional. Every decision is something that Saskia and I ultimately are paying for, or having to sacrifice in the editing suite, or, you know, could make or break a film and could be the reason we don't get into a festival or something like that. And so being specific and communicating was really important to us. And I think same goes cold water swimming. When you're out there in the ocean with your friends, not only are you freezing and present, there's also obviously an element of danger as well. So I think I never had reflected on how both things were pretty similar, but it's all sort of full circle now when we think about it, how of course one thing led to another, and well, the cycle will keep going, and hopefully for the rest of our lives.
Well, good. And are you both still cold water swimming? Is that something you both enjoy spending time doing?
Yeah, for sure. I also make an effort to have a cold shower or cold bath. Yeah. It's I find it really kind of like life affirming and important to me.
Yeah, and I've moved into doing triathlons. I'm at that quarter life crisis stage of my life where I have to find physical things to do to find my worth. So
okay, well, go ahead, keep going, Maddie. I think just in case everything else isn't sort of working
okay.
out.
You know,
just...
Wings are strong.
Well, we'll keep... Oh gosh. Oh yes. I mean, I just think it makes me feel very old. I'm like, oh god.
Me too.
Cold water swimming is something I can't get on board with, you know, dig you up at Hampstead Heath. And you mentioned obviously that time with bringing all your friends and family together in that theatre and, you know, showing them Type of Rain. But what have been some of the responses that you've had? Anything that's stuck with you particularly?
We've had a really amazing response. It was an emotional screening, but I think what we wanted to do with the film is, as well as depicting grief in a realistic way, was also showing the alternatives to combat feelings of anxiety or stress or grief or whatever it is. And a lot of our friends have said that they started cold water swimming, which is amazing. But also it's quite funny. We just to add here is that when we were making our film, it got to the weekend before and we realized we didn't have enough money to get us through film festivals and like the final bit of making the film. So we decided to host a big swim event. We got all of our friends to come to the Hampstead Ponds and they paid £10 towards the film, and we all went for a lovely swim together and then a picnic. Mm. So I think it's been like it's not just the final product which has given us the response, it's hopefully kind of like the community that we've created with the film, and the fact that we forced a bunch of our friends who have never swam in the ponds before, despite them living 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like your local sort of, you know.
to get in, we really peer pressured them.
Yeah.
And I think that they're thankful for it.
Yeah. We went on this journey of losing Rosie together, all of us as a year group. And it wasn't just our experience. Every single person has a memory and story about Rosie. And so it was really important that our friends go on this journey of making this film with us against their will, but now happy to be a part of it. And so seeing the response from the people we love has been amazing. But I think more significantly, the response from people we don't know has been life-changing. A lot of people who watched the film when it premiered at BFI Film Festival in February went up to Saskia and told them how moving it was and how they connected to it. And it became something bigger than us. And we knew it was an emotional subject that people could relate to, but we'd only ever thought about it in terms of us and our friends.
Right, okay, yeah.
People to respond to it who never knew Rosie, didn't know who we were, didn't live in North London, was really powerful, and it made us want to, you know, keep doing this and then sending this message out as long as we can.
And that's it, isn't it? Because I suppose that's something like with that creative, and the same probably when you read that script originally as well, Saskia, that you write something and you kind of let it go. There's that weird sense, isn't it, that you hand it over, and then suddenly when you start watching people, as you say, who've got no connection and going, oh, this resonates with them, or it's drawing something out when people say things and you think, wow, gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. Mm. So what's next for Type of Rain? Are there future collaborations between the two of you in between, you know, all the multitude of stuff that you're actually doing?
We premiered obviously at the BFI, and then we had our American premiere in Seattle, and we are just waiting to hear back from different film festivals, and we both still collaborate with each other. I've written another script which we're hoping to get funding for. It's another short film, and then we're also developing a feature film together. So a lot of future collaborations in the horizon, hopefully.
Well, we look forward to hearing.
This filmmaking process is a very, very long process, which you know, sort of feels silly to talk about a film sometimes that we did many moons ago, but it's so important, because this film, we could talk about it till the cows come home because of the message and of what it means to us. So we're going to keep, you know, on the film festival circuit and marketing it. But besides our future work collaborations as well, we are just genuinely best friends as well. So lots of dinners and Channing reunions. We meet up as a year group annually for Rosie's birthday, and we have a Rosie birthday drinks every year, and it's been so great, and everyone travels for it, and it's my favorite day of the year to see everyone and catch up. So keep planning those, and yeah, lots to come.
I should say that also we have found a platform to put the film online, so hopefully more people can watch it. It's called Girls in Film, and it's going to be premiering online at the end of the year.
Okay, that's exciting. I mean, I think that just what you were saying there as well, because this is obviously represents, doesn't it, your community and all the things you've done, like bringing your friends together. But as you meet together as well and you remember Rosie and you honour that, there's so much that sort of draws you together, and just thinking about your time at Channing, that is never going to change. And obviously this sort of holds a light for that as well. I mean, just thinking back to your time at Channing, I mean, how at all did the school support you as you were going through that time of grief, or how have they supported you as well with the film Type of Rain?
Channing have been so supportive of our film, and, you know, asking us to come back and give an assembly, and every teacher who knew Rosie has come up to us and said how much the film meant to them. And Mrs. Hughes has been so gracious with her welcoming us here and really celebrating our film alongside Rosie Day, which we, you know, never thought would be a sentence we'd say. And I think when we were younger, just the friends we made at Channing, the best friends we made that we talk to still today, every single day, see each other all the time, that support money can't buy. It's changed our lives, and we would not have been able to go through this as a year group without the support of each other. And Channing really allowed us to lean on each other and facilitated us to be together. And Vicky, who I, you know, wish could have been on this podcast with us, she alongside me founded Rosie Day, and she was such a big proponent and pusher of all things celebrating Rosie, the Rosie Trophy, the Rosie Garden. And coming back today and seeing that the school still celebrates it, and it means so much to the year 11s, whoever gets awarded the award. Saskia and I were in floods of tears this morning when Anna, who won the trophy this year, came down to collect it, and she was crying, and her year group was crying, and seeing that it meant so much to her, it meant everything to us.
Yeah, and also I think it definitely takes a village, and our year has been so supportive, as Maddie said, but also with Maddie and Vicky being the people who have actively set up so many different things for us to celebrate Rosie through, it's been so important for us, and I, as a year group, we're so grateful for you guys.
going to cry again. So I'm glad this isn't filmed.
No, well, that's good. And I just, you know, and I think what it reminds us as well, isn't it, that, you know, yes, grief is personal, but I think there's also that space, isn't there, for that corporate. And as you said, Channing allowed you to have that space. It made opportunities for you. And you've got to talk about things that are difficult. And, you know, death is a thing people often go, oh, we don't want to talk about it all. You know, as you mentioned before as well, Maddie, like, you know, the British way sometimes can be, but you're like, no, okay, it's hard. But also this person was really important to us. And if we don't mention their name or we don't speak about them, then what did that actually mean? And I think that's a beautiful thing to sort of know that there are still year 11 girls who didn't know Rosie, but know of her and are delighted to have that sense of like, oh, wow, I get awarded for something in her name.
Yeah. And I will say it took us, you know, many years to come to terms with what happened and to go to class every day without her. It was very difficult. And I think it really took until we were at university and beyond to be able to have these open discussions and everything that we created at Channing, the legacy that lives on, you know, we set up as we were leaving. And so we didn't get to see the impact until we came back today. And to see that it's helped girls have these conversations earlier on,
yeah,
is amazing. And you know, we're sort of clambering and crawling back to sort of have all these conversations we wished that we had had when it happened in year 10. But now it's beautiful when we meet up every year and we sit round the table and we share memories of Rosie. And it comes with such ease now. But back then it was very difficult. So I will say it does take some time to come to terms with it. And if anyone's going through something now, you know, you're not, there's nothing wrong with you if you can't talk about it now. It takes time, takes a village, and it, you know, misused taught us the being 10% braver saying, and you know, maybe we could have used some of that back in the day, but we're using it now.
And that is it, isn't it? It's that small steps, you know, and the fact that you're there for each other and things like that. Well, just before you go, I mean, I'm sure there's hundreds of bits of advice, but what advice would you perhaps give to your younger self, both of you? Don't know who wants to jump in first. Yeah, go on, Maddie, or shall I make Saskia speak first?
Stop wearing eyeliner.
Oh, okay.
No, that was my joke one.
I mean, it's very useful. I mean, it depends.
It's very useful. Also, you know, you can overdo it, and you did. So,
and also, you can start crying back a lot as well. It doesn't help.
I would say you can't plan everything. I think at school, and just being women, we try to plan as much as we can. And that's the nature of academia, is just your GCSEs, your A-levels, you're planning uni, everything's going to go according to your plan. And then what if it doesn't? And what if your friend passes away and everything changes? You cannot plan for your life and it's going to work out.
I think my advice to my younger self would be to own who you are. And not be ashamed for feeling certain ways or enjoying certain things. Like Maddie and I, we were kind of obsessed with film. We, mm-hmm. in like a way where we created our own film club at school that no one went to just so that we could watch films. But I think like having that passion and not being ashamed of it or not being embarrassed about it, it can get you to where you want to get to. And I think also like tying in the grief aspect, Rosie's death, like it really had a profound impact on me. And I think I was embarrassed about that for a long time because I had felt like everyone had just been able to manage and go along with their lives. But that's the whole point of the film. It's these conversations that we've had with different people where, and our friends predominantly, where we've realized that actually it was a really tough time for us. And it's something that we're only really facing head on right now or in the past few years. So I think it's just like owning who you are and being comfortable that this is you.
I don't know. I'm going to leave it there because I think those are just two incredibly powerful, you know, encouragements, and particularly for those young people listening from Channing School and to any other school and all those, you know, young people who get to watch Type of Rain. There's so much there that's actually going to give them space to think and to reflect. So thank you, Maddie. Thank you, Saskia. It's been a privilege speaking to both of you today.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been great speaking to you.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.